Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, what kind of life do you want to live? There's a doctor at Penn State, Dr. Seligman, who categorizes it into three categories. There is the pleasant life, the pleasing life, the happy life, the engaged life, things that we do. When we think about that, we think about what we do for a living, you know, the things that occupy our time is a way of putting it, I suppose. And then there's also what is obviously, just from the name of it, the meaningful life, which we're going to talk about today. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place is my guest on every Wednesday. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place, and we'll give her contact information throughout the show if you have some concerns about your life. She's a Christian. She comes from a Christian perspective, although not necessarily so if you're somebody who does not have a faith but still wants some advice on your life and some help, some guidance. She can take care of your issues as well, help you out as well. But her number is 588-0448. We'll mention that again throughout the show. Gidi, welcome again.
Thank you.
We could probably recap in about 1 minute.
Yes.
The pleasant life is?
The pleasant life is just seeking as much pleasure, positive emotion as you can, and amplifying it through savoring and mindfulness, which we talked about. Savoring is slowing down and enjoying it. Mindfulness is clearing out the distractions and focusing on the pleasure.
Tempting to say it's the shallow life, but not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Everybody needs some pleasure, and when we get to the end of this, we'll wrap it up.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, these are three types of happiness.
Okay.
Three types of happiness that Dr. Seligman, he did not come up with these headings and then go out and find the research. He did the research and then came up with the headings.
Okay.
And if you read his works or see his TED Talks, you'll hear him say he was very surprised.
What's a TED Talk?
A TED Talk is, I can't remember what TED stands for, but it's where, well, you can Google it and find out.
Okay.
It's the best way to say it. That some of my favorite people give TED Talks.
Okay.
Including him. And all, by the way, all the information I have been sharing over the weeks are all from Dr. Seligman's research.
So
none of this is my own research.
Right. So we have the pleasant life.
The pleasant, which is just seeking pleasure, savoring it, and being cutting out all distractions. Drawbacks are it doesn't change, it doesn't grow, it's a dead end, and it becomes duller and duller. It habituates.
Okay. The engaged life is?
The engaged life is whether in work, play, love, relationships. We are so engaged with what we're doing, we forget ourselves, we focus totally on what we're doing, and time seems to stand still.
A perfect example of that is what I'm doing right now. I'm fully engaged in this conversation. I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm talking to you. So this is how how we spend our time of day.
It's how we spend it when we are using our talents and abilities, and we're forgetting time and it whizzes by. And you know, Jerry, I want to say the same for me. Mm-hmm. When I'm on your show, time just seems to go by in just a blink.
Mm-hmm, it does.
Because it's so much fun for me to be doing
you.
This.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. And I learn so much. And that takes us to
the meaningful life. Now, Dr. Seligman calls this traditionally the most venerable path. Every religion, even secular humanism, puts this meaningful life in a very high place. And again, he did not come from the viewpoint of religion or philosophy and decide that this was the most satisfying form of happiness. Mm-hmm. He did it from research. That's something we need to remember. This is science, not philosophy or religion. And so his research showed that when people know their highest strengths and they use their highest strengths to belong to or to serve something higher and larger than themselves, they report the greatest sense of happiness, the most long-lasting happiness, and the most pleasurable and productive happiness.
It's almost a cliche now. You hear it so often. We hear it, but people don't always do it. live for something greater than your own happiness.
Yes.
I've heard that saying so many times. It almost becomes trite because it's said so many times. Live for something greater than your own happiness, and you will in turn have a really meaningful life. But how many people just say it, and how many people actually do it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and you know, God created us in such a way, I believe, that we all have the need to belong to someone or something higher and better than ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob Dylan said, you're going to serve somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were made to be servants. We were made to serve. Now, he says, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And this meaningful life takes that into consideration, yeah, that we are on the planet to make things better for other people, to give ourselves over to something higher and better than ourselves. But the key is, you know, you may say, okay, I'll do this through the church. You don't know your own strengths. You get stuck doing a job you hate. And you go, well, how in the world is this serving anybody?
Uh-huh.
You know, I hate this job. The key is you need to find where your strengths are. And using those top five, at least, strengths, then figure out how you can serve.
Yeah, you don't have to be suffering in order to have a meaningful life. And almost sometimes I think we could make that jump. Well, you know, I'm doing something for the church. I'm not really enjoying, you know, being an usher. I'm not really enjoying going to these board meetings. I don't really enjoy, you know, being a part of this church program. We'll take a break after this. But just because we're having it has to be meaningful, but also something maybe that we enjoy as well, because if you're not enjoying it, it's not going to have as much meaning. And all three of these things kind of work together, and I think we're going to get to that with Gidi Hansen in the second segment of today's show right after this break.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. The Growing Place all summer long is presenting a series of seminars called Courageous Living, Courageous Living Series. It takes place on Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock until 11:30. They're free, and they have experts in fields that speak on a DVD, and then live therapists and counselors are able to answer some of your questions. This Saturday, July 30th, the topic is Shame Off You, Made in the Image of God. Shame Off You, Made in the Image of God. And it is this Saturday, 10 o'clock, over at the Growing Place on East Avenue, 1074 East Avenue, Suite A3. Best thing you can do is just go to tgplace.com to find out more about the seminar this Saturday, 10 o'clock. Or you can go give him a call, 588-0448. And we're talking to Gidi Hansen. She is a licensed family and marriage therapist, marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place. And we're talking about the different positive psychology, and Dr. Seligman talking about, based on research, scientific research, about people who have the meaningful life, a life of value, of meaning, generally have... Fair to say the best lives?
According to the research. Again, this is not opinion. This is science. According to the research that they have done, and they did not go into it, you know, predetermining what they think the outcome should have been.
So we were saying that you can do things that are meaningful, but if you might not be happy doing it.
Because you're not using your strength. So that was a beautiful example you used. The person who loves God and wants to serve him and is stuck doing something that just doesn't use his gifts or his talents needs to heed the words of St. Paul and find out from the Lord where he's gifted and talented and offer that. Mm-hmm. Offer that to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And also, people who are engaged in the meaningful life, because they're not self-absorbed, because they're not seeking their own pleasure, they can tolerate suffering along the way. You mentioned suffering before. Mm-hmm. They can tolerate suffering along the way a whole lot easier because they've got their eyes on the prize. Mm-hmm. They've got their eyes on their purpose, on their reward, on the good that's coming out of the work that they're doing, the way that God is with them. And so, you know, they fight the good fight, as Paul writes.
As you were saying this, you can't see this on the radio, Gidi is looking up at an imaginary figure, and it appears that you are looking up, thinking in terms of God.
Exactly.
And the heavens.
Exactly.
And your eyes are on that prize.
That's the prize.
The prize in heaven. So, you know, that's the meaningful life. It's something
so much greater, so much better than me.
Is it enough to say, because I know that people are going to, and I'm one of them, I think, who says, well, gosh, my kids are everything. I have to take care of my kids and everything about them and my children and living their lives, and saying that if I do that, I'm leading a meaningful life. Yes, you are, because your kids but you're also living for your own happiness because you want to make them happy. Is that enough?
The beauty of it is you might be given the gift of parenting and mentoring, and when your kids grow up, God will lead you to other people to parent and mentor. You may have a teaching gift that is more the tutorial type, the one-on-one or one-on-two or three, and that may be your gift. I mean, a lot of people do discipleship that way.
It seems like it's easy to compartmentalize each of these lives, because all three of these aspects should be in our life.
Thank you, Jerry. It's exactly what we're coming to. And the way that it works is this. Clinical research involving thousands of people has shown over and over again that lasting life satisfaction is, number one, marginal or almost non-existent with the pleasant life. Okay? This is what the research has shown with thousands and thousands of people coming to the same conclusions, that happiness and satisfaction is lasting with the engaged life. However, happiness and satisfaction is most lasting with the meaningful life. And here's the deal, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. If you have engagement and meaning, then pleasure can make a difference to overall satisfaction. So in other words, if I'm serving something higher and better than myself, and I'm using my top five gifts, which I'm being engaged in doing it, then if I get pleasure along the way, it's like the cherry on the ice cream sundae. But pleasure on its own, I'm quoting Dr. Seligman, pleasure on its own hardly contributes to life satisfaction.
It's almost like a nice meal at a nice restaurant. You know, the steak, the entree is the meaningful life. It seems like the engaged life is maybe the side, maybe a potato or, you know, baked potato. And then the dessert is the happy life. That's the dessert in life, maybe. I don't know if that's a way to put it, but what's the most important of all of those aspects of the meal? It's probably the entree.
That's one way of looking at
it,
for sure.
That's how I thought about it. And maybe it's because of your analogy of having a Snickers bar and enjoying and having happiness. The Snickers bar and the happiness isn't as important as the rest of the meal.
Yeah. That's definitely one way of looking at it. You know, I might look at it a little differently. I would put the food in the pleasure category.
Oh, the food and in its entirety.
In the pleasure category. Who I'm with is in the meaningful category. And then the engagement would be the venue, the environment. The environment engages me. I walk in and there's some beautiful live music. And, you know, stuff like that. But everybody can conceptualize it in a different way.
We have one more segment with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, talking about the different types of lives that we have and why all three of them are important. But although a couple of them are more important than the others, we'll finish things up after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Okay, wrapping things up now with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. If you're looking for a marriage and family therapist, Gidi is licensed in these areas. You can contact her at The Growing Place at 588-0448, 588-0448. Kind of wrapping things up now, talking about the three different categories of happiness in the types of lives by Dr. Seligman, Dr. Martin Seligman, in the director of the Penn Positive Psychology Center, and through statistical research has found that the person who leads the meaningful life leads the best life.
Yes, yes. And now I have three little homework assignments for our listeners. And these are all from Dr. Seligman. None of this is original with me. Mm-hmm. For the pleasant life, if you want to find out what that is, he says, plan a beautiful day and use savoring and mindfulness. Remember, savoring is slowing down and enjoying it. And mindfulness is cutting out distractions and just focusing on the enjoyment. But he warns you that the joy will diminish over time. Yeah. Even in one day, somebody may get really bored with this and go, okay, I've done it. It's enough.
I've been to Disneyland. Believe me, I know that very well.
Okay. Then a little intervention, it's called in psychology, or we can just call it a homework assignment, mm-hmm. for the engaged life. And I thought this was very interesting. He says, thank a significant person you have not thanked before with a heartfelt testimonial. And he says, if you do this, the joy remains over time. And I think the example he used was, go look up an old teacher or coach or somebody who really, really influenced you and who may not know it.
Oh, okay.
And make an appointment with that person. And the whole purpose of the coffee or the lunch or the visit to the home is to tell that person, you know, I never said thank you to you, but you made a huge difference in my life. And he says that joy will remain over time. Every time you remember that moment and you remember the other person's response, it will continue to feed you with joy. And then for the meaningful life, he says, design something fun and do it, and you'll see that the happiness has a short shelf life. But he says, now design something philanthropic or altruistic and do it. And then the joy will last. So what I was hoping to do in the weeks to come, he classifies three types of strengths with corresponding virtues. And what I was hoping to do is, he calls them strengths of the heart, strengths of the mind, and strengths of the will. And the will, for the will, we could substitute strengths of the soul.
Okay.
And so what I'd like to do in the weeks to come is to present to the listeners his psychological research on, for instance, strengths of the heart, gratitude, and then also bring in the corresponding scriptures, and we're going to see that they all line up with his clinical research and what the Bible says. Strengths of the mind, for instance, he talks about is zest or vitality or curiosity. Strengths of the will are the strengths or actions that are needed to achieve a goal. So I thought in the weeks to come, we can talk about these things. In the meanwhile, the listeners can go to positivepsychology.org and find out what their strengths are.
Is it important to have goals in our lives? Is it important? Because without it, it just becomes, how important is people have whatever the goals are?
I think, you know, the Christian life definitely sets two major goals in every Christian's life. And that is to love God completely and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I think those are very, very important goals to steer one's life by. And you notice that both of those fall under the category of the meaningful life.
When you talk to clients, I would imagine you center on these things, and it comes down to what is the meaningful, what is the meaning of your
it
life?
It depends on what the client's issue is and where the client wants to go. I am a client-centered therapist, so I don't try to impose on the client what I think they should be doing. I more or less follow them. But if they stop and turn and say, you know, I've been going down this path and it's not getting anywhere, mm-hmm. or for 3 months we've been talking about this dead end, you know, I might give a directive. I might say, well, okay, I've listened to you all this time and it seems to me that this focus needs to shift or whatever. But I don't come in with an agenda. I don't come in with, okay, I'm going to clobber this person with positive psychology. Mm-hmm. I don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. I find out where they are, what they're open to, what works with them, and then lead them along using their own language and their own worldview.
Really interesting. And it's as you would expect. The base is the meaningful life. The next step is an engaged life. And
yes.
And then kind of the fruit on the branches is the pleasant life.
Yes.
And it certainly does fit. We're almost done here. How are things over at the Growing Place, by the way?
Oh, things are going well. Thank you for asking. Right now, we're getting new carpeting, which is very exciting. Yeah. And, you know, we've moved into 3 units over there.
You guys really are a growing place.
We are growing. We started in 1 unit, then the A4, then we moved into A3. Mm-hmm. And then recently, at the New Year's, we moved into A2. Mm-hmm. And we have more therapists and counselors working for us, and things are going really well.
Well, that's good, but it's also not good. It means there's a need for it. And so I don't know whether to wish
it. Well, it means that more people are having their needs met,
uh-huh.
which is a good thing.
Right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Gidi. We'll talk to you next
thank
time.
Thank you so much.
Remember, the Growing Place, if you have any kind of issues you want to have get some help on. There are many marriage and family therapists there. One of them is Gidi Hansen. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist there. You can give her a call at 588-0448, or you can go to tgplace.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.